This year was made available the Ili Nishmas
Rav Rebleze ben Rav and Tzion Gavril Hamburger, that's all.
For sure is down from the top. For Matir. Anshe Yerichai, or Matir and the Tamirim, Gamzia, Shal Hegdish, branches of Hegdish, Shal Haruva, Shal Shikma. What's the story? These trees have big trunks. And when you cut off the trunk, you leave the stump. Subsequently, smaller branches grow out of the trunk. Now suppose these trunks had remained of sawed off trees. These trunks had been made hegdish, and then branches grew out of the trunks. So Anshe Yerichai committed themselves to use the branches. What's the reason? Humbly said, Avo Seinu, I mean, this was not in their generation. These trunks were hegdish from years back. Avo Seinu lo higdishu elo keres. They are magdish only the big beams of these trees. It means when the trees were big trees. So our forefathers were magdish then, so that when they be sawed off, the beams would go for hegdish. But we permit ourselves the little branches that grow out of the trunks, stumps, out of the stumps. Shall horu, shall shikma. That's the name of these trees. And anything else that grows, the achamekan, afterwards. That's all. What's the svara? We're dealing with the growth that came after making it hegdish. Anshe Yerichai relied on the lumdus that when something is in existence, at the time that you make it hegdish, that's hegdish. But if something grows from what you made hegdish, it's not hegdish. If something develops from the hegdish, it's not called hegdish. The gidulim that come afterwards, they hold. And not us, it's not English. The Sovrilo, the whole Kimardoma, Emila be Gidulim. That if you're a Moyal, if you use the Gidulim that grow from a Hegdish object, you're not higher called Mila. So this is Emila be Gidulim. So they say it's mutter to take the branches that grow out of the trunks. One say, Nee, let it be. The Mila, there's no Mila be Gidulim, because Mila has to be. Only when something was made originally hegdish. But the aftergrowths, if somebody's in a henna, it's not higher called mila. But isur at least there is. Anything that grows out of hegdish, it's an isur to take it. But it came from hegdish. So now we have as follows. Mila is not higher. The person by accident forgets and he uses something of hegdish. Only higher if that's the object that was made hegdish. But if something developed, like branches came out of that object, and he used the branches, inadvertently not have a kol milo. But it's also to use that. So the Anshe Yerichai went so far as to say it's mutter to use that, just like there's no mila. And Homer said, no, mila there isn't, but it's also to use it, say that. They used to open breaches in the walls around their fields, around their orchards, to let the poor people come in on Shabbos and Yom Tov in the famine years and pick fruit on Shabbos. Fruit that fell on the ground on Shabbos. The breaches they broke in before Shabbos. But it was hunger years, so they made it easier for people to get into their fields and pick the fruit that fell. Now, the difference between Rashi and Tesis and the whole sugya. So I'll say briefly what Rashi said, and let's see what Tesis says. Rashi says, it's fruit that fell from the trees on Shabbos. And the Anshe Yerichai wanted the poor people to pick it up and eat it. And the Gemara makes differences where the fruit fell. If the fruit fell from the tree into the higher branches, where there is still some fruit growing in the higher branches, there it would be awesome. Because when the poor people reach up to take the fruit that fell on the higher branches, they might pluck off some fruit that's still connected to the branches. But near the bottom, there are no branches with fruit. So the fruit fell near the bottom of the branches on Shabbos, it would be mutar. It wouldn't protest against the Anshiriha who permitted that, because on the bottom there's no fruit growing there that you would pull off from the tree. So once more, according to Rashi, is talking about fruit that fell on Shabbos from the tree. And it's usur to take it, because once you pick up the fruit from the ground that fell on Shabbos, you might pull off the fruit from the tree too, once you get a heter. So he said, in the Gemara Chilik, we'll learn that. If the fruit fell in the higher branches, so there it was wrong to permit the poor people to take it. Because in the higher branches there's still fruit growing. So maybe the poor man, while he's taking the loose fruit that fell in the branches, might pull out the fruit that's growing on the tree too. But in the lower branches, when the fruit fell, there's no harm, because down below, no, fruit is growing, it's all loose. Now Tesis says that pshat is impossible. But if fruit fell from the tree on Shabbos, it's mukzah. Without exception. And Tesis learns the difference only if the fruit fell erev Shabbos into the higher branches, or fell erev Shabbos into the lower branches. But if it fell on Shabbos, no matter what, it's always awesome. Now, see if you can talk it over. In case you don't understand it, you'll understand it later in the Gemara. From Pirates and Pirates, Oma Ulam Harishim and Rokic, Machlekis. The Machlekis is between Anshirich and the Hakamim who protested. The Machlekis is the Shol Machbetis and the top branches, where there are bunches of dates. Rabban HaSavri. Gazlinin, the Asher learns that if the pears fell loose from the tree into the top branches on Shabbos. And Tesis learned that pears fell loose erev Shabbos into the top branches. Machlek is into the top branches. The Rabban HaSavri holds Gazlinin, we are Gezer, Shema Yalav Yitlish. If you're permitted to take the fruit from the top branches, which are loose, you might pull loose the fruit that's still attached to the tree there. They were not afraid. And that's what the Chachamim protested to the Anshirich and said, no, it's not permitted. They're not afraid, you might pull off fruit from the tree. So even the top branches, when the fruit fell, Anshirich were martyred to take on Shabbos. Abo Bishel may not keep him, but the fruit fell down below, between the sparse branches near the end. At the bottom of these trees, there's some keeping, some wide branches sticking out. Nothing grows there. If the fruit fell there, the Ibehakol Muta. And Rashi learns, even if it fell on Shabbos, and Tesla, if it fell before Shabbos, it's Muta. They said it fell on Shabbos, nothing is moving. Even fell on the ground on Shabbos. But anything that was attached to Shabbos is moving. So Rashi learns it became detached on Shabbos and it fell on the higher branches. That's a machlekes. But if it fell on the lower branches, it says that can be. If it's detached on Shabbos, then it's moving. So it must have been detached before Shabbos. And the halakhah is if it fell on the higher branches or it fell on the lower branches. First say that. Omalei Rabbi, from Muktzis and Yis Muktzis. According to Rashi, Rabbi is asking the Kasha of Tesis. If it fell on Shabbos, it was attached before Shabbos, and it came detached on Shabbos, it's Muktzis. Who cares where it falls? That's how Rashi learned Shabbos, Rabbi's Kasha. Tesis says, no. That thing one knew all along, came to be attached on Shabbos is awesome. basically learned the whole sugya and came to the chapter before Shabbos. But Chabad's kasha is, who cares if it fell on the lower branches? You can't take anything off a tree on Shabbos. Anything that's on the tree, even the lower branch, you can't take off. So also take it off the tree on Shabbos. It's mutzah. Learned the kasha according to Rashi and Tesis. According to Rashi, Rabbi asked a question, kasha. It was attached to the tree out of Shabbos, became detached on Shabbos. It's moved to get where it fell. On Tesis, learned the kasha is this. If it fell, even to the lower branches, it's mukta to take anything off a tree on Shabbos, especially Yisrael. You can't put anything on the tree or take off a tree on Shabbos. And if you want to say, there's a reason why it should be mukta, because it's fit for the birds. Since, I shall learn, since birds can pick it off a tree, therefore, if it came detached on Shabbat, it should be muta. But it was already fit for birds. Man has pet birds. And the birds have to be fed. So the birds go and eat the fruit on the tree. So since it's fit for his birds, it's fit for him too. So even though it became detached on Shabbat, let's say it's muta. According to Tesis, now it became detached, but it's lying in the lower branches. It's fit for the birds. Maybe you shouldn't bend it, you should take it off either. It should be fit for a man. Say the kasha. Because it's mukhan la oilim. It should be mukhan la odom. Hashtag a kolchem. Now, mukhan la odom, we have no long mukhan la klogim. Anything that's fit for a man, or they're standing for people to eat, is not considered fit for klogim, like we'll soon see. Did not learn the Mishnah. If a behemoth died, on Yom Tov Shabbos, let's say Shabbos, it's also to give it to dogs to eat. Im lo hoyso neveva v'eru Shabbos asur tzmukza. Fish ainim ben abuchim. It didn't stand for dogs before Shabbos. So you see, something that's fit for people, they don't intend. Now, fit for people means it's fit for men. And therefore they may have in mind all kinds of uses, not only for themselves, even for their animals. We would say, no. Once it's fit for people, they have in mind not to give it to any other purpose. Therefore, even though they die on Shabbos, it's mukhsa to give to dogs, because it wasn't standing for dogs. Then mukhan lo orim, having mukhan lo orim, that something that's fit for birds should be fit for men? Surely not. Again, if it's fit for a man, it's fit for all purposes of man. Man, they want to give it to their pets too, to the animals and birds too. And still it's not mukhan l'mahabim, mukhan l'klovim. That's only fit for birds and not for man. We say therefore that makes it fit for men. Just because the birds could pick the fruit off the tree on Shabbos. Therefore, it's not mukhsa for people to do that, say that. When Yan Shireha, look, the power takes this because that's easier. You can understand according to Rashi too if you want to. Anshi Yericha permitted the fruits that have become detached Erev Shabbos from the tree and landed in the top branches. They permitted. What they permit? Not to go up on the top branches. If subsequently on Shabbos it fell from the top branches to the ground, they permitted. Because they said when it fell on the top branches, it's not considered muktzah. Erev Shabbos, it fell on the top branches, it wasn't muktzah. Because all is detached. And therefore, when it falls on the ground, it's muktzah. To take something off a tree, nobody would permit. Take something off a tree, nobody permits. So the only question is, after the fruit fell on the ground, but it was on. During Shabbos, the fruit had lodged in the top branches. So Anshiyah said, since it was already detached on Shabbos, we don't care. If it fell subsequently to the ground, it's muta. Homer said, no. Homer said, only if it fell in the lower branches. Then we say, if it fell subsequently to the ground on Shabbos, it's muta. But if it fell from the top branches to the ground on Shabbos, it's muta. And the rabbi came along and said, even from the lower branches, it's mutzit. From the lower branches, it's also usher to take anything. So I say once more. If you understand that, you have to learn the Rashi too. He says, learns, Anshi, hey, didn't permit to take anything off the tree on Shabbos. They permitted what fell on the ground. But if it fell on the ground from the any place on the tree, even the higher branches where it had lodged Erev Shabbos, when it came loose, it's mutter. As long as it's on the ground, it's mutter. The Chachamim said, no. If it fell on the top branches, there is absolutely awesome, because anybody who tries to go there might pull off some fruits. So anything that's there, even loose fruits, are awesome. If it fell on the lower branches, but there are no attached fruits, then it's not mutzi. If subsequently it fell on the ground, the lodging in the lower branches did not make it mutzi. Along comes the rabbi and said, why not? Since you cannot take it to the lower branches, even the lower branch on Shabbos, you can't take anything on Shabbos. This is your mukse anyhow, even though it fell on the ground through the lower branches. And therefore, he wants to say as well, now, if it's in the lower branches, all is a question, not Shema Yitlish, they might pull up pears, no pears there. Only question is mukse. Mukse in the lower branches, wants to say, since it's fit for birds, then the fact that it fell on the ground subsequently makes it fit for people too. If it's fit for birds, as long as it's on the tree, you can't take it off. You can't take anything off the tree, Rabbi says. Nothing will help. So why did Chachamim permit from the lower branch? You must say pshat this. Once it's in the lower branches, so there's no gzeir shebayal of yitlish. No gzeir, they might pluck off fruits, because no fruits in the lower branch. Mm-hmm. Only a question can't take anything off the tree. That's why it's mukse. When it falls on the ground, it's not mukse anymore, because it was fit for birds while it was on the tree. That's what we're discussing. If it's fit for birds, is it fit for men? That's the discussion here. Now next time we'll learn it again, I will say the whole thing over again. I'll give you 1 minute to repeat as much as you know, and that way it doesn't matter.
Down from the top. Now we're going to talk over Taste of Shad again. Find a place. Omale Rabe, or Muksis Ninhu. 15 line down. Anshe Yerichai, according to Taste of Shad, permitted dates that fell from the tree. Now the dates fell before Shabbos. That's what Tesis learns. Not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, absolutely mukhtzim. Fell during Shabbos from the tree. But Erev Shabbos, the dates had fallen from the top of the tree where they were growing into the upper branches, where there's still attached fruit, still fruit growing. And Anshe Yerichai said, since the fruit had fallen from the tree Erev Shabbos, only it lodged in the top branches, then subsequent, if it fell from the top branches down to the ground on Shabbos, it's mutter, because they were detached from the tree before Shabbos. And the Chachamim say, no, since they fell in the top branches, it's just as mukhtse as if it was still growing on the tree. Why? But you couldn't climb up on the top branches and take the loose fruit that was lying there, because you might pull off the attached fruit. So any fruit that's lying in the upper branches, where the other fruit is really still growing, so even the detached fruit is also is mukse, because if you say it might pull off attached fruit, you can't see so clearly what's detached, what's attached. So even though the fruit fell off the top of the tree into the upper branches before Shabbos, and on Shabbos, It subsequently was blown down by the wind and fell on the ground. So that's mukta. Because when it fell on the top branches, it was also to take, because if you take the detached fruit, you might take the attached fruit. That's the Chachamim disagreed with Anshiyeh. But suppose the fruit had been detached from the tree before Shabbos and fell in the lower branches where there's no more fruit growing, and then subsequently it fell to the ground, even the Chachamim says muta. Because when it fell away with no more, in a place where there's no more fruit growing in the lower branches, there really was no isa of taking it as you might pluck from the tree. But there's no fruit growing in the lower branches. So again, the machlekes and the Chachamim in Anshi Yavichai is only if the fruit had fallen into the upper branches of Shabbos. Then they fell to the ground. But they fell into the lower branches and then fell to the ground. Everybody agrees it's muta. Now we start today's Gemara. Omar le Rabbi, so Rabbi said, even though it fell on the lower branches, it's muktzah. But you can't take anything off of a tree on Shabbos. So if it fell later from the lower branches to the ground, it should still be muktzah, because during Shabbos, it was not free from the tree entirely. It was still stuck in the lower branches. And the lower branches is also to take anything. Before we thought there was a gezeira. Well, there's a gezeira. You shouldn't take the loose fruit because you might take the attached fruit. In the lower branches, the gezeira doesn't apply. But the Rabbi says, who cares about that gezeira? There's another isa. It's also to take something from a tree. And since it fell on the lower branches, so you can't take it. And if the wind did blow it out on the ground, it should be muktzah. Talk over now, the last discussion. And if you want to say an answer, because it's fit for birds. Let's say if a man has a flock of pet birds. People used to have flocks of pet crows. Now, so these crows could pick the fruits and eat. Therefore, it's not muktzah. Since it's fit for his crows, it's fit for him too. I'll explain that. When it was up in the upper branches of the tree, it wasn't just a matter of muktzah. It was a gezeirah. He might pull off the attached fruits. So therefore, even if it fell down subsequently on Shabbat, it should be also. But in the lower branches, there's no gezeirah at all anymore. It's only a question of plain muktzah. You can't take it from the tree. So let's say, since the birds could have taken it from the tree and eaten it, so if it's fit for birds, so the status of muktzah no longer is suitable for that fruit, since it's fit for something that people have, your pet animals, your pet birds, it's fit for you too. That's what he wants to say. Since it's fit for his birds, maybe it's not muktzah if it fell down on the ground. So he says, you can't say that's for it. But hashta now, kalachimah. Madach muchen l'adam was fit for a man. Lo havi muchen, the plow is not considered fit for dogs. We don't say we can use it for dogs later if we want. We don't say this law, what's fit for one is fit for the other. So if it's fit for the birds, it's surely not fit for men. He's how he argues. Suppose a man had a cow that died on Shabbos. The question is he allowed to cut up that dead cow on Shabbos to feed his dogs? You can cut up meat to feed your dogs. Is he allowed to cut it up? Or to pull the cow out and give it to his dogs? So we say, Abida says, "In lo hoy so nevelim erev Shabbos." If the animal was not a dead carcass from erev Shabbos, it became a dead carcass on Shabbos, asu es muktzah, v'she'ena mena muchen, because it's not prepared for dogs. It wasn't standing for dogs. an animal would be standing for dogs, all right. But a cow doesn't stand for dogs. It stands for people to eat. And therefore, the cow was not dead Erev Shabbos. Died on Shabbos. So you say, since it was standing for a man, not for dogs, therefore it's not considered fit for dogs. It's mukhsir even to give the dogs. Then mukh and love, something that's fit for birds, to say having mukh and love is fit for a man. It's more svara that what's fit for a man is more fit for men's animals. What's not fit for a man, but yet fit for birds, surely shouldn't be fit for a man. Say that. Omar, so you said, no, I argue just the opposite. And yes, muhan lo adam lo havi muhan lo klav. What's fit for men is not considered fit for klav. The chol midi de chazil inish. Anything is fit for a person, lo maksil le midaite. He doesn't remove it from his mind to think, I'll give it for dogs. No. But muhan le orvin was fit for birds, havi muhan is fit for men. Because kol midi de chazulinish, anything that could be fit for a man, the idol of his mind is on it. So therefore, if it's fit for his birds, people are thinking, we would ourselves also like to use it. And therefore it's considered fit for them too. Now this piece of Gemara we just learned, you should know, is a difficult piece of Gemara. But I won't go into it anymore. A little bit of taste to discuss it here, and more is discussed elsewhere. So I'll say it once more briefly. The first one argued, how can you say because it's fit for birth, it's fit for a man? Don't we see what's fit for man is not considered fit for dogs? So surely the opposite. What's fit for dogs surely shouldn't be considered mukhan l'adam. So he says, no, it's the opposite. What's fit for people, people surely are selfish. They don't give it away for dogs. Not considered fit for dogs. But if it's fit for their birds, people say, why shouldn't it fit for me too? And therefore, it's considered not muksa for people. Just say it inside, the best of your ability. Won't spend any more time on it. A lot of explaining, but right now, that's the maskan we know right now. So he learned pshat. Ula learned pshat, reish logish. That the machlekes between the chachomim and the anshe yerichei was, if it fell into the higher branches before Shabbos, and from there it fell to the ground, during Shabbos, the Chachamim said, no, not Mutzah. They disagree with Anshei Yericha. But had it fallen to the lower branches, the Chachamim would say, if subsequently it fell to the ground from the lower branches on Shabbos, it's Mutzah. Because the lower branches, no gzeirah of you might pluck any fruits, because no fruits there on the lower branches. Only it's Isha to take from there. But since the birds could take from there, so Mutzah l'Olam is Mutzah l'Adam. Let's talk it over and go right up. Now that was the nusach that Ule reported to Malach Yisrael in the name of Reish Lakish. And this nusach caused some discussion and some difficulty. But Ki Osa, when Rabin came from Malach Yisrael, he said a different nusach. Omer Shim ben Lakish mach legish v'shobein hakibim. If the fruit fell on the lower branches, an shirihi ramatia, and Rabin said no. Like Rabbi asked, but the lower branches also to take anything from a tree. Solely because the Chacham hold Muchan Lo'ilvin Lo'abi Muchan Lo'adam. Even though it's fit for birds who could take it from the branches, it's not fit for a man, it's Muksa. So according to the second Nusa, the Shloki said, the Anshi Yerichei had permitted if Erev Shabbos fruit was shaken loose from the tree and fell into the lower branches, and on Shabbos it fell to the ground, it's mutar. For the lower branch, there's no isa that you might pluck some fruits. And the Chacham say, no, since the lower branch is still mukhtzah to take anything from the tree on Shabbos, so that fruit in the lower branches is still mukhtzah. And even though it fell to the ground on Shabbos, it's also. Because you don't say mukhan l'olvin, have a mukhan l'olvin, say that. Now, the Anshe Yericha, Anshe has over their hole, Muchan Lo'adam, have a Muchan Lo'adam. Therefore, if the fruit had fallen out of Shabbos in the lower branches, this Mutah, if it fell subsequently to the ground. Abol B'Shel Machabedis, whether the fruit had fallen out of a Shabbos into the higher branches and then fell to the ground, the Leharpil also. Gazlinen, we're afraid Shemayali Murka might go up a Yitlesh and pull, and he might pull loose the attached fruits, say that. Gave peah from vegetables. And thereby, they made a michshul for the aniyim, because vegetables are potter from peah. And since they gave the vegetables to the aniyim in the status of peah, the aniyim thought the vegetables were potter from maisa, like peah is potter from maisa. But since vegetables are not peah, they're not potter from maisa. Talk over. Flag the Gemara. The last lulan sheyarecha odet man. Don't they hold a Mishnah? An open Mishnah? Klal onbo be peah. There's a rule they said about peah. What's called peah? I mean, what is chayv to give peah? Kol shehu has to be a food. Let's say, suppose it's vegetables from which you make dyes, colors. That's not peah. You don't give peah from vegetables. You make dyes. Don't give peah from flax, from linen. Only from foods you give peah. Benishma is something that's kept. Not hef, if it's hefker, there's no din of peah. The gedulah min ha'aretz, it grows from the earth, has roots. But mushrooms don't grow from the earth. Mushrooms grow from the air. They only have anchors, they anchor to the ground, but they don't grow from the ground. So mushrooms are potter from peah. Something that you pick all at once. It's like when the crop is ripe, it's picked all at once. The things that come ripe one at a time. Today, these two pears here become ripe. Tomorrow, three pears over there become ripe. It's potter from peah. The reason is because the poor people will lose too much time coming each time to pick one piece or two pieces. If the whole crop becomes ripe at once, other poor people come and take their peah. But if it comes elikitos, if the time to pick it is not all at once, like some trees, all the fruits don't ripen at once. And therefore there's no peah in a case like that. Or machnisa likim, and something that you put into a storehouse to keep, like grain. But vegetables are not kept in the storehouse, so vegetables are put up in peah. So all those things have these qualifications, are chayav in peah. Now he explains, kol shehu oichol, to exclude sfirei stis v'kreitzo. Stis v'kreitzo, sfirei means growths. They grow by themselves. People don't plant it. It's put up in peah because you use it only for dyes. It's not food. And it has to be nishmor, something that's kept. Part of hefka. Hefka doesn't have a din of peah. And the gedulah min ha'aretz, something that grows from the ground, part of the kamei and pithis, excludes mushrooms. Or the kitos and ke'acha, something that you pick all at once. Part of the tainim, to exclude figs. Figs don't ripen all at once. Or machnis or lekim, something you bring in to store, to keep. It means grain, prat, yeah, vegetables. So we see vegetables are potter from peah. So the question is, how could the Anshe Yericha make such a mistake and give peah from vegetables? That's a kasha. Omar, he comes to answer. Over here, Berosha lift his haskinen, is the heads of the turnips and the carrots, the heads. Now the heads, turnips and carrots, you do take in to keep, to store. Only together with them, he brought in the leaves of the turnips, the leaves of the radishes. So the question is, since you're storing the turnips, and the leaves are with them, are the leaves considered something that's used for storage or not? So therefore, again, the Rosh Eliftis asking, the heads of the vegetables, means the turnips and the radishes, that he brought in to store. only while storing them, he takes together with the leaves. And the machlekes between Anshei Richon, the Chachamim is in this principle. He brings in the vegetables for kiyam, not because of themselves, but they're attached to the turnips and to the carrots. So are the leaves considered chayev and peyev because you're machnisa lekiyam? Or no, those leaves are potter and peyev because you don't bring it in for themselves. Now, you don't want to store the leaves, you want to store the turnips and the carrots, not want to store the leaves. Only because the leaves are attached, you take them along. So Nanshiri has said, no, since actually you are storing the leaves, so these leaves are capable of giving payah from them. Therefore they said, the leaves, since they're stored, so you have to give payah from the leaves. Or Malsa Homer said, no, Mahmiz, Loshmeki, that's not called kiyam. But we're not interested in storing the leaves, we're interested in storing only the turnips and the carrots. The fact that the leaves are taken along with him, because it's too much trouble to pull up the leaves. But not because we're interested in the leaves. So the leaves are not chayav and peyah, say that. It's hefka is potter from Maisa anyhow. So who cares if chayav and peyah or not? It's then the owner. It means this. If somebody has on his field a certain kind of plant that he doesn't care about. It's in his field, it's really not hefka, but he doesn't guard it. Let's say a certain kind of sour grass called shaveh sour grass. It grows wild. The people don't plant it in their gardens. But if it grows, they use it. But they're not interested in it. If somebody else would come and take it, they wouldn't protest. So even though he is the owner of it, and he wants to take it now for himself, and not try to pay it. Because if a poor man would have come and taken it, he wouldn't have said anything. So even though no poor man came, and the owner himself took it, it's part of him pay it. But he didn't care to watch it. It wasn't considered something he had his eye on. His eye was on his garden, on his vegetable, I mean on his pears. But his eye wasn't on that. So since with him it's not nishmar, not talking about things that grow in the field somewhere in the berries, in the forest. There's no owner there. There's no owner, you can't talk about payah. Talking about somebody that's an owner, but the owner doesn't care about it, it's part of the payah. But Hananya ben Akashari Meir, that's our cousin Bobby, who is not going to see us. You can hear all of him.
This shiur was made available by kolavigda.com. To sponsor a shiur and help us grow the Avigdor Miller's Gemara Shiurim, call or text 347-541-8051 or email us at kolavigdor.com. That's info@kolavigdor. Thank you.